Hello, everybody, and welcome to Left Hand, Right Brain. I hope this podcast finds you well. And you know I say it every podcast, but I say it because I really mean it. For all your likes, your subscribes, your rates, and reviews, you know, appreciate. And you know, if you like what you're hearing on this Left Hand, Right Brain podcast, you can check out all of the podcasts under the LHRB banner, such as Help Me, I'm Scared, another podcast about horror films with Katie Bowman. Or you can check out Drunk Wedding or Let's Get Drunk and Talk About Your Wedding. Sorry, the shorthand for it is Drunk Wedding. That's on most of their socials as well, if you want to check that out on social media. You can find all their backlog episodes, links to all the backlog JDJOs, the LHRBs, the Appetites podcast, the Los Chupacabros, all those things and more can be found at lefthandrightbrainpod.com. And you can get them wherever you get podcasts. Okay. Don't forget, Comedy Save the Video Star, your music video comedy mashup show is coming up. That's going to be October 20th at Western Sky Bar and Tap Room. Tickets are $5 at Eventbrite. Just put in South Broadway Comedy Show or Comedy Save the Video Star. You can get them both ways. We got a good lineup this month. We got the comedic stylings of Jeff Stonick, Joshua Emerson, Lizzie Wolfson, Tanya Sabrina. It's going to be a fun show, all right? They pick music videos that they have some kind of personal connection with. They do some stand-up, and then we watch them and talk over them, beef some butthead style. It's a good old time. You're going to love it. So be there or be square. Western Sky Bar and Tap Room, October 20th, 8 o'clock. Oh, we do a DIY TRL before and after the show, so if you like what you're hearing, or if you want to come in early, get a drink, request a music video, put it on. I become DJ JD or VJ JD, and we have a good old time. And we can't, and I don't want to forget, we are also a part of Mile High Life now. I hope you guys are checking those pods out. They started a new one on the network. It's called Happy Friday, so it's kind of a local wrap-up of things going on in town. They talk about things that are going on the upcoming week. Dude, they touched on a little bit of news. Just the first episode came out. It's with the Discussion Combustion Boys and John of All Trades. So they got together. They're doing a show now with Mile High Life as well. It's a fun time. If you're looking for things to do, it's kind of a way to figure out what's going on and go from there. So, dear listener, you might notice that this podcast is really, it's the first, well, not the first ever solo podcast I've ever done, but it's the first one in a long time, and the first one where I'm not, like, doing an activity. Like, the last time I did one, I just kind of walked around. I got the idea from the Tom Green Show. He had a podcast where he just walked around and talked to people that he stumbled upon, and he talked about things that he was seeing, things around in his surroundings. I really enjoyed that. And, hey, that podcast actually was the catalyst for my friendship with Paul Caroli. You may have heard him on this podcast. He's a producer at CityCast Denver. He produces and hosts the Changing Denver podcast, the Denver Pizza podcast. All these good things came from podcasting. Friendship blossomed. He was into podcasts just as much as me. And it's great to meet a kindred spirit that way. Yeah, it was just a good time. It's just a good time. I want to challenge myself maybe doing a little bit more of these solo pods and see, you know, what the reception is. If I like doing them, if you guys like hearing them, let me know. You can check me out at LHRB Podcast on Twitter, Left Hand Right Brain on Instagram, where I'm the most active. Okay, I've had a lot going on this month. You might notice that these podcasts are going to be all kind of dumped at the end of the month, but it's I've been doing a lot of things. Got a new job, getting in the swing of that. I started doing audiovisual work at the Sheridan downtown. So this big hotel doing all the AV, it's mostly like corporate events, setting up, you know, anything from like PowerPoints to different kinds of presentations they have going on in the rooms. They've had a couple concerts, they say, but I haven't set up anything for that yet. A lot of outside people coming in. I don't know. It was a big career change. I actually had a recruiter reach out to me and was like, hey, we saw your resume on like Indeed or whatever, LinkedIn. We think you might be a good thing. The company is called Encore. So they're looking to hire people because they're going to their busy season, and they keep seeing that saying that, you know, they're busier than they were pre-COVID. So I guess they're saying that companies have money and they're looking to spend it. doing these live events. So been doing a lot of that. The first week I worked there, there was a furry convention in town. It was interesting. The whole hotel was taken over by furries. It was like everybody was in Mr. Fox uniforms, Fantastic Mr. Fox uniforms. And that's kind of how they acted. I mean, I didn't have a lot of interaction with the furries, but whenever I did walk by somebody in a suit, and I mean, they're in the full getup, okay? You know, they kind of tilt their heads, you know, very cartoony, you know, acting out with their bodies, almost mime-like, if you will. Not a lot of talking going on. I know you guys are worried, thinking about it. There was one X-rated room, okay, where they were selling who knows what in there. I didn't go in there. I was mostly doing all my online training at that point. So every now and then I'd go help tape down some lines or whatever and do some things in some different rooms, but not a lot of interaction with the furries. You know, and I guess what they were trying to get away, they're trying to get away from the sexual deviance part of the furry thing and just like, hey, we're an accepted part of life. This is just fun for us. So I hope they feel more accepted. I don't know. This I heard someone say that this was like the biggest gathering of furries in the country, I think. It was crazy. I mean, it was taken over. The biggest complaint people had was the smell. Everyone was fair, you know, polite or whatever, but like when all these people got together, I mean, these suits are, you know, they have fur on them. They're big costumes, so I doubt they get cleaned at all. If, you know, not a lot of cleaning goes on, I'm sure. I don't know how you would dry clean a big suit like that, but, you know, you're getting in there, it's hot and it's sweaty, and then who knows what gets on these costumes. I don't know if costumes is the right word. I think that's, you know, then they have like a different persona. They have, you know, they had some people on leashes. One guy only barked to one of the AV guys, one of the techs. So he was like, oh, this guy was telling me he wanted another microphone, and he had a guy who was just barking at me. So I don't know what they were presenting, but, you know, or what they needed microphones for, but they got them. So that was an interesting one, just doing events like that. You know, it's not all furry fun and furry games. You know, there's a lot of corporate events, very stuffy old men also just wanting to make sure their podium mics you know, on right and their PowerPoint's gonna play, you know. So I don't know, that's been an interesting job. I actually took a pay cut from the truck driving job. I was driving a big rig truck, not a big rig, a big box truck for a janitorial company, which, you know, the hours were consistent, you know, 8 to 4:30, you know, Monday through Friday. This one, this new job is all over the place. I took a pay cut because I thought there'd be a different or more of a future in this job, you know? So I don't know. I didn't know what to expect my first day. You know, I mean, it's not a lot. It's not very different from just setting up stuff for the podcast. You know, you need a mixer to get a certain amount of mics in. You need a source where the audio is coming from. So the source would be the microphone and then the recorder. You know, things like that. So there's a lot more stuff with like video as well. There's a lot of big projection stuff. There's a lot that goes into it, but, you know, I'm learning little by little, just got about my first month here into it. So, and the schedule's all over the place. There's no set schedule. Like tonight, I actually go in at 8 in the evening and work till 3 in the morning because they need to turn over a room or some things really quickly. So apparently there's like an event that's going on right now, probably as I'm recording this, and the ballroom or whatever needs to be turned. You know, all that stuff that was in there needs to be struck. I'm doing some technical terms here. All the things in there need to be taken down. Needs to get set up for the next event that's going on tomorrow morning. So a lot of weird stuff. I mean, not weird stuff, but some weird hours. You know, nothing's consistent. That makes this podcast a lot harder to get out on a consistent basis. And I'm not complaining. You know, I don't want you guys to think I'm, you know, complaining about it, because I love doing the podcast, obviously. Wouldn't have been doing it for almost 10 years if I didn't love it, you know. But, you know, just you get some hiccups in the road here. This isn't the first time, you know, things haven't been consistent or you know, I've gone away for a little while. You know, sometimes you got to take a break, recharge the batteries. But, you know, you always keep me coming back. Pod sweet. I love talking into a microphone. I love listening to podcasts. I love getting feedback from the listeners, you know. Shout out to Marcelo Duran, Johnny Wu, Mitch Jones, all the members of the Brain Trust. Keep me going. Keep me coming back. We've had a lot of good guests recently, but I brought up Paul Carolier because we just went on a an adventure, if you will. We went to Mesa Verde. We did a couple's vacation. All right. Him and his wife and my wife and I, we went to Mesa Verde and had a good time. We thought about doing a podcast there, but, you know, something that we got, we took some of the live tours. I don't know. We guided tours into the cliff dwellings, which is great. Everyone should check it out. If you don't know, Mesa Verde is a national park where these indigenous peoples, the Anasazis, what you want to call them, or what I have always called them. One thing I learned through the, what do you call it, the tour guide said that different word for like foreigner, and it was another indigenous people's word for the people who lived there. The Puebla, I think, is what they've become now, the Puebla people. I hope I'm not offending anyone. I know I'm probably butchering this, but so they don't want to use the word Anasazi because it means like enemy or foreigner or something like that in a different language, and they didn't want to brand the people living in the cliff dwellings that used to live in the cliff dwellings, which everyone refers to as the Anasazi for the longest time. I mean, I remember growing up in school and, you know, learning about it, watching videos, and they always called them the Anasazi. But I guess now they're trying to change that. Let's call them the Puebla people. You know, Mesa Verde has this very like mysterious, like, kind of spooky thing to it as well, because like they all disappeared. That was always a thing that was in all the videos. And like, no one knows why they left. They just left all their stuff there and like got up and left. So like, what was it that made the Anasazi move, the Pueblo people move? I'll just refer to them as the indigenous peoples that lived there. Okay. so like, what made them move and stuff? And there's some eye-opening stuff, a lot of things to learn by taking the guided tour, which I do recommend. My wife and I went about a year ago as well, and we just kind of walked around, which was fun, but also it just wasn't as educational as these tours. And you can't get into all the cliff dwellings unless you take a tour. So I highly suggest that. Paul and his wife Megan came with us. They've also been on the podcast as well. Also host of the Denver Pizza Podcast. You should check that out. I mentioned it before. You should probably check out the episodes. They're real fun. And my wife Mallory's on those as well. So we're good friends. We did our first couples trip. That's always a level up. That's like the next step in a couple of friends that are couples. You guys know what I'm saying. My wife and I are a couple. His wife and I are a couple. And we're a couple of friends. So, you know, we like hanging out together. I don't know. There's something about, you know, when you're in a relationship, a long-term committed relationship, finding partners, friends that are, you know, also partnered up, and your wife gets along with you, get along with them. You know, we're all friends. I'd say we're all friends individually, but together we make a Voltron of friendship. A Power Rangers Megazord, if you will. That's probably more along the lines of my growing up. I just know Voltron through cultural references. I don't really know. Never watched the show, but anywho, that was a next level stuff as well. I was a little nervous going into it. It's like, well, what if I get annoyed on this hike? You know, I'm hot, my feet might start hurting, and then they're like, hey, let's continue walking. I'm like, I don't want to walk anymore. I mean, I was nervous that might have happened, but it didn't. We all had a great time. We got separate hotel rooms the first night we stayed. It was like a 4-day trip. We went down to Cortez, which is in like the southern part of the state. Stayed there. Next day, got up, went on all the hiking adventures in Mesa Verde. Went to Durango, which is a beautiful place. I don't know, man. Durango may be the hidden gem of Colorado, or I don't know if I just didn't have any expectations. So when they were so leapfrogged, you know, because it's such a great place. I don't know. We kept trying to describe it. It's like golden meats Fort Collins or something, because it has got this old school Main Street feel with everything's like old school brick, you know, very westerny town, but it's surrounded by these trees and the hills and the beauty, the majesty of nature, and it's great. It's got a college there as well, that we ran into some kids that go into the college. We went to Hot Springs on the trip as well, and we ran into these college kids that were saying that you know, it's like a small school. It's kind of like if you can't get into Boulder, you go to Durango. It's kind of like the poor man's Durango or Boulder, if you will, because it's also like a big mountain town. But I mean, basically what he said, these are his words, not mine. That's where all the dummies go. Okay. And so, you know, he was an interesting kid, you know, and then going to a hot spring is also weird because you're sitting in a pool of hot soup, body soup, mineral soup, if you will. And but it's a very enjoyable experience. It's hot springs in Durango were great as well. But you know, you're sitting in this hot, very relaxing, beautiful pool. There's just like little pool areas spread around, and then just like strangers get in as well. There was a lady doing a live stream as well. She'd set up. She was definitely doing like an OnlyFans live stream. I mean, we couldn't get close enough. We're trying not to be too nosy, nosy. If I could say words, we're trying not to get in on what she was doing. There's one guy who like kept coming into her frame. She had like a big stand right off to the side of the pool that had her phone on it, and she was doing like a live stream. She's chatting to people. You could see like all the comments scrolling and stuff. And you know, so we were curious on what was going on. This guy was just like getting in and being like, "Hey, what's happening? You know, where's the party at?" And she'd be like, "Ha ha ha, so funny." You know, and then she'd like do a lot of stretching. You know, that's why we were thinking maybe OnlyFans. She was doing a lot of, you know, she's already in a bikini, all right, talking about how lovely it is in this hot springs, but then also how expensive it is. You know, she was just throwing that in there. And then, you know, doing a lot of like, you know, close up boob shots, you know, to the camera, just to be frank with you guys, you know, some subtle stuff, but also some not so subtle stuff. So we moved to a different pool. That's where we met the college kid. You know, we're giving the OnlyFans lady her space. And all the pools are different temperatures. So you can, like, you know, go to 104 one, or you can go to the 98 degree one. And they had a great bar. You know, sometimes it doesn't, the bar isn't always up to par at hot springs. But this one had a great one. Great vibe. Just Durango. Cool place, man. Cool place. I think it's like, a lot of people say Trinidad's cool. Dude, I think Durango's where it's at, to be real with you guys. If you want to get to the real real, I mean, we checked prices of housing stuff. It's just a little cheaper than Denver. So I think people are catching on real quick. Cool little eateries, things like that. A lot of breweries, a lot of pizza places in Durango. Just an overall cool place. So we stayed there, and we got an Airbnb. All right. Still separate rooms, but we're cohabitating at this point. I'm talking about the friendship dynamics at this point, which was also good. You know, we got some snacks, went to the local grocery store, got snacked up, got some seltzes, things like that. And then, you know, we let it all hang out. You know, it's like, okay, we're all sharing snacks here. You got the Cheez-Its. I got the fucking Chex Mix. The honey Dijon potato chips went very quickly. Those were the highlight of the snack. The snacks, I think. Those are delicious. But it was a good experience, you know, getting up and being like, okay, one bathroom, you know, you guys go first. Are you in there? You know, the couple we went with, they're quiet in the morning. They're very quiet. Like, my wife thought that they'd like gone for a walk or something when we got up, and just turns out that they were quietly in the bathroom. I don't know. It was just, you know, it's just an interesting dynamic, you know, cohabitating with someone, especially if you haven't had a roommate in a long time. It's just been me and my wife for the last, you know, seven-ish years, five, something like that. It's been a little while, man. Can you guys remember way back in the LHRB archives, back in the days when I was complaining about my roommates all the time? Fuck, I'm glad those days are over. It was a great experience. Everyone should check out Mesa Verde. Go to Durango if you can get the chance. So that's just been kind of an overview of what's going on in my life, guys. You know, I hope you guys thought some of these things are funny. I hope, you know, I'm trying to be entertaining, but also real. You know, it's I'm always looking for the real, real in these pods. Of course, I've been watching The Rings of Power. It's amazing. I love it so much. I just love being in that, in Middle Earth. I actually went to Mountain Moot, and I got to meet the Tolkien professor. Everyone should check out his podcast, Exploring Lord of the Rings, any of the Mythgard Academy stuff. He's got some great stuff on YouTube, you know, breaking down the Lord of the Rings stuff. He gets way into the lore. Met some cool people that they're going to be on the podcast soon. Some TikTokers, some Lord of the Rings TikTokers. It's going to be amazing. All right. So I want to get into some literature stuff, some book stuff, not just comedy. I mean, I'm sure it'll be funny because I'm hilarious. Obviously, I can't do things without it being funny. But yeah, I want to talk about audiobook reviews. I think it's a market I don't think anyone's really tapped into is audiobook reviews. You know, I just listened to Courage is Calling by Ryan Holiday. He's written a couple different books, like The Obstacle is the Way, Ego is the Enemy. It's a lot of stoicism stuff. He kind of takes the writings of like Marcus Aurelius and Sophocles, different stoic philosophers, and then he distills them into different examples from history, in a more modern interpretation of these things. And I enjoy it a lot. He reads his own books, which I enjoy because I think the author can be the best at reading their own stuff. I've heard different criticisms of Stephen King isn't great at narrating his own books, but he only did the On Writing one, which is, kind of his writing advice book. There's no real narrative, he's not doing character voices or anything like that. It's just him giving a speech or a lecture, if you will, which I didn't mind. I've heard other people say it was annoying. The only book I couldn't get through that the author read himself was Eckhart Tolle reading The Power of Now. Man, that was a hard one for me. But that was before I started listening to things at 2x the speed. So, or at least 1.5. I listen to a lot of audiobooks at 1.5 if I'm going through them for the first time. I just re-listen all the Lord of the Rings ones. I did that at 2x the speed. That's fun. The Rob Inglis, amazing. I love that guy. I was looking up videos of other people doing podcasts or audio book reviews, and the only one I could find was one guy kind of dissing the Rob Inglis version, which is the OG audiobook version of Lord of the Rings. Okay. The only one you can get for the longest time. Recently, Andy Serkis has put his out, but he is kind of doing an impression of all the actors from the movie, whereas Rob Inglis, I think, is really just giving a great performance. The criticism that this guy on YouTube had was that it was like your grandpa reading a book to you, but I mean, it's way better than that. This guy's doing voices as well. I mean, audiobook actors are amazing. Have you ever heard the Harry Potter ones? The guy's name is slipping my mind. Let me look it up. Jim Dale is his name. That guy should, I think he did win an Oscar, basically. Whatever Oscars, the version of the Oscars is for audiobooks, this guy won it. I think he was knighted or something for reading these. That's the American edition. And some with these audiobooks, sometimes you could only get the Jim Dale versions of the audiobooks in America. You have to get be in England or get some kind of VPN or something that would say you're in England to get the Stephen Fry versions, which I would love to get as well and may try at some point. But it is weird that, in different regions, different people read them and you can't get the other versions. But Rob Inglis was the only version for a long time of Lord of the Rings. He's amazing. I just listened to the newest Robert Galbraith novel, that is AKA J.K. Rowling. All right. I know what you're thinking. All right. I can separate the art from the artist. I've listened to all these other, they're mystery novels. Yeah, and it's about a Cormoran strike. He is a private detective. And there's a love triangle or a love interest. She's planning on writing 10 books. They're great. They're very fun. I enjoy it. I like the mystery of it. Those are hard to listen to at a faster pace, because there's so much information. You're trying to get all the clues. You're trying to solve the mystery before the end of the book. A lot of names to remember, things like that. But those are called, I think the shorthand for them is the Cormoran Strike novels. Yeah, the Strike series, crime novels. The newest one is called The Ink Black Heart. And those are narrated by Robert Glenister. Great, British accent, does a bunch of different accents, which is amazing as well. I don't know, being able to do multiple European accents is fucking crazy to me. So that's really fun. I just love audiobooks, and I think they're kind of underrated. So I want people to get to know more. I've listened to a couple of Elvis biographies. Those are really interesting. After seeing the Elvis movie, kind of reinvigorated my love of Elvis. So it's been a big influence on me, but that really kickstarted again. I read Last Train to Memphis, The Rise of Elvis Presley, and then the second one by the same author, Peter Guralnick. Yeah, I think it's Peter Guralnick. The second one's called Careless Love, The Unmaking of Elvis Presley. And it was interesting to hear just how, he was kind of, he kind of invented rock and roll, modern rock and roll, and he was catapulted into stardom. He took the blues and country, made rock and roll. And then, just towards the end of his career, he was, just kind of struggling for relevancy. They talked a lot about how he was kind of pushed to the side of pop culture because he couldn't really have as much control over his career. Like someone like when the Beatles came in, they wrote and performed their own music, and Elvis didn't write songs, so he was kind of beholden to songwriters and his label RCA giving him, you know, giving him access to music that, you know, was good and that people would like. So just the things like that kind of held him back in certain ways. He held himself back in certain ways, you know, kind of this, you know, once he was popular, he was scared of losing popularity. So he kind of played things safe. You know, they talk a lot about, you know, towards the end, he did a lot of covers and, you know, he wasn't really putting that Elvis flair on him that he was kind of known for. He was just kind of regurgitating, you know, he was just kind of doing covers that weren't very original, which, you know, it's kind of, it's sad. It's a very tragic story. It was hard. It's a hard one to hear, but man, what a crazy life. Yeah, and I love any of the autobiographies. You know, Molly Shannon, she reads her own autobiography. I just started listening to that one, so I haven't got Tom Segura. He just put out a book called I Like to Play Alone, Please, that's read by him. You know, and especially if they're comedians, you know, they know what where they're trying to make a joke and things like that, so they can, the delivery there is just spot on. Neil Gaiman reads all his own audiobooks for the most part. There are a lot of full cast recordings, which are more along the lines of like audio plays. That are happening now. A lot of his books have that. The Wheel of Time. I know I've talked about that a lot on the podcast, but Rosamund Pike, the star of the new Amazon show, she's reading the books now herself. And that's interesting because she's doing kind of her own take on all the different characters. And there is some like different like production things, like when she sings a song, you know, they like multiply her voice, or, you know, they put effects on it to make it more theatrical in a way, which is interesting. The Wheel of Time books were originally read by Michael Kramer and Kate Redding. I think they're a couple that does audiobooks, and they were great. So then they'd flip back and forth whenever it was a male point of view that the book was coming from. The Michael would do that, and then Kate would do all the female point of views, and that was great as well. So, I mean, that's considered, you know, one of the great audiobooks, you know, fantasy series audiobooks. So it's Rosamund Pike has a lot to live up to there, a big shoes to fill. So that'll be interesting to see how the continuation of the series goes. I mean, those are 13 books, you know, and she's done three of them, I think. The first two are out, and I think the next one will come out next year. So anyway, that's been Audiobook Corner. And if you're listening to this, you know, pretty close to it coming out. Mutiny, I think, it still has the GoFundMe coming out. They've had some troubles. You know, Mutiny has been a great sponsor of me in this podcast and my comedy career. They're great. I always said support local because they support us. You know, they are going through some tax problems. The city shut them down because they had some back taxes due, overdue, things like that. And they've run through, had a string of bad luck this year. They've had some vandalism stuff going on. They've had, you know, one of the owners who took care of the financial stuff had some health issues. So if you can go to their Kickstarter, donate to that. Although I think they may have reached their goal by this point because I heard that they were going to reopen tomorrow. So go to Mutiny, support them, get a coffee, fucking buy a book, buy a record, get a comic book, you know, just support local because that place, it would be quite a blow to this city if Mutiny was not around. I mean, it would be a hole in my heart, and I think to a lot of people. So definitely check them out. They're invaluable. They're amazing, and you can check them out. You can hear the two owners on the podcast, Jim Norris and Matt Magacy. Check those out by going to thefanrabbitinpod.com. Okay. All right, I think that's wrap. I'm kind of winding down on this, okay? I hope you guys enjoyed this solo episode. Hope you got something out of it. Let me know what you think. I'm just thankful you listened this far, dear listener. Yeah, I got no comedy shows booked of yet besides Comedy Save the Video Star, so come to that. Thank you guys so much for listening. You know, appreciate. I'll leave you with Wakanda Forever and BX the 2 Challenge. Peace.